once again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here today. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture that pertains really to mothers. And it's a familiar one, I think, to most of you. It's Proverbs 31. So if you'd open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 31, I know we've looked at this in years past. And if you are a wife or a mother or a woman, you may have read this passage often. But again, we're going to look at this. And one of the beautiful things about the Bible is that it's never irrelevant. Though this may have been written thousands of years ago, and though maybe the culture back then was a little different than it is today, there are still some truths that we can apply to our lives today. And if you're not a mother and you're thinking, I can just kind of check out, pull out my phone, and maybe watch some ESPN right now, there'll be some truths for you today as well. So let's dig into this. We're going to begin in verse 10 of Proverbs 31, and we'll read right to the end of the chapter there. It says, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him harm. I'm sorry. Was that a Freudian slip there? All right, let me back up. She brings him good. She brings him good, not harm. Forgive me. All the days of her life, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Well, there's obviously a lot in this passage. There's many, many verses that are there. But today I just want to look at five traits of a godly mother. There are many that we could look at, but we're going to look at five today. And before we dig into these five traits, I want to stress that word godly, because we need to read this passage in light of who this woman is. We're told that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so what we need to see as we look at this passage is that these traits come out of a woman who fears God, a woman who loves God. You see, if you're here today and you're just thinking, you know, I need to be a better mom. If you're a mom, then I'm all ears. I'm taking notes. There's five things I need to do to become a better mom. And if that's all you're thinking about, then you're going to miss the heartbeat of this passage, because the heartbeat of this passage is really about a relationship with God. And when a woman truly fears God, these are the things that are going to come out of her life. And so we need to see it in that light today. Well, number one is we see that she is diligent. She is diligent. We see this in verse 13. It says she works with eager hands. We see it in 15. She provides, she gets up while it is still dark. We see it in verse 17. She sets about her work vigorously. She's even got some biceps there, some strong arms. And then in verse 27, It says she does not eat the bread of idleness. So obviously we see that this woman here is not one who sits around and watches soap operas and eats bonbons all day, right? She's a vigorous, diligent woman here. And as we read the book of Proverbs, there are many words about being diligent, not just to mothers, but really to each and every one of us. Let's look at that. We find in Proverbs chapter 6 some beautiful words about being diligent. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." As we read this, we need to keep in mind that we're reading from the book of Proverbs, and so these are proverbial statements. What does that mean? That means you cannot apply this to every person in every situation. These are not absolute statements. These are wise sayings. For example, you may know someone who is very diligent, maybe very industrious, and yet they remain in poverty. And you may know someone who is extremely lazy, and yet they have more money than they know what to do with. And so this is not an absolute, but as a general rule, what you find in life is that those who are industrious and hardworking, they tend to be rewarded in this life. And those that are lazy tend to be lacking in their daily needs. That's just the kind of the general rule that we find in life. Well, as Christians, why should we be diligent? Whether you're a mom or not, why should we be diligent? And the main reason is this, is because it pleases God, because it honors God, because this is God's will, this is God's desire for our lives. Now, as you think about people in your life, you may know people who are not believers, and yet they're very diligent. You may even know people who are atheistic in their beliefs, and yet they're very diligent, very industrious. But the question we need to ask is why? Why are they so industrious if they have no faith or no belief in God at all? Why do they do that? Well, it could be for a variety of reasons, right? It could be because they want that shiny new vehicle, and so they're working really hard to get that. It could be because they want the bigger this or the bigger that, or maybe they just want to impress others by their hard work. There could be a whole host of reasons. But as believers, when we get to the heart, the core of who we are, why do we need to be diligent? Because it honors God, because it pleases God. This is what God wants to see in us. God does not want us to be lazy. And so to those of you who are moms, let me ask you this. Are you diligent? Are you diligent? And if you are you diligent without complaining about being diligent? You know what I mean? Like you're so busy. I'm so diligent. I'm not so. Or maybe your diligence is filled with pride. Maybe you compare your diligence with another mom's diligence, and you say, "Ah, my diligence is better than your diligence." And what diligence should do as believers is produce this supernatural joy and peace. Why? Because we know we're doing the will of God. Is that evident in your life? Well, number two, when we look at this woman here in Proverbs, we see that she is a provider. She's a provider. Now, when we think about providers, who do we tend to think about? Dads or fathers, right? And certainly the Bible, I believe, gives more responsibility to the man to be that provider. But there's nothing wrong with a woman also being a provider, a woman helping in this. And so we find this in our passage. In fact, this is probably the topic that is spoken most about in regards to this woman in our passage. We find this about her. In verse 14, she brings her food from afar. In verse 15, she provides food for her family. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. Verse 21, all of her household is clothed in scarlet. And in verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. We see a provider. This woman is a provider. Now, as a mom, God may not be calling you to buy a plot of land and plant a vineyard, although maybe some of you would like to do that. Maybe that's your dream someday to do that. But God may not be calling you to do that. But yet, he may be asking you to help provide in some way, to be a provider, to make wise investments. These are all good things that are not reserved just for the man alone. And again, when we think about these things, we need to go back to the motive. Just like we did with diligence, why are we diligent? Because it honors God. Why should we be that provider? Because we know it honors God, right? It honors God to provide not only for ourselves, but for our family, and as we'll look at in a little bit, also for those who are in need. These are all things that that God is pleased with. And so to be a provider, again, is something that pleases God. Let's look at what Paul says to the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Now, as believers, when we hear about, quote, self-sufficiency or self-dependency, we usually hear it in a negative way, don't we? You may hear it from me a lot. Hey, don't depend on yourselves, right? Don't rely on yourselves, rely on God, right? You hear that a lot. God's grace, let his grace be sufficient for you. But the Bible also teaches a good self-sufficiency. And by that, Paul is saying that if we have the ability, we should be providing for ourselves and taking care of ourselves. We should not be dependent upon other people. Now, obviously, when someone's young, like little Carter back there, right now, Carter, why don't you just go out and get a job and fend for yourself? I mean, you're what? How old is he now? He's 6 months. I mean, he should be self-sufficient by now, right? Well, obviously, no, right? When we're young, we need mom and dad to provide a home and food and clothing, all those things, we need that. And Lord willing, if it happens when we get older and grayer, we may get to that point because we're unable to do things where we have to depend upon other people to provide for us as well. But in between those two spectrums, youth and old age, guess what we should be doing? Providing for ourselves. We should not be dependent upon other people. Now, obviously, are there exceptions because of physical or mental abilities? Yes, obviously. But for most of us, we should not be dependent upon others. We should be self-sufficient. God wants us to be providers, not only to provide for ourselves and for others in our family, but also for those who are in need, which leads us to point number three. We see this woman was filled with compassion. We see this in verse 20. It says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. It's been said that there is enough wealth in this world right now to feed the entire world. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know how you figure all that out. But usually when we hear that, most people hear that. Maybe you don't, but when most people hear that, we tend to think about who? We tend to think about the rich. And we say, yeah, the rich, they need to help the poor more. You know, if Bill Gates would just give more of his money, this world would be a better place. But let's take the spotlight off of the rich and off of Bill Gates for a moment, and let's just shine it upon ourselves and ask ourselves, has God blessed us so much that maybe we can help other people? Maybe we can help those who are in need? Maybe we can help the poor? Just asking, as we look at ourselves, do we have the ability to help others? And I know as I look at my own life, I often spend money on things that really I don't need to spend money on when I think about it. Just think for a moment how often we have done that in our own lives. Ask yourself, just this year, think back to going back to January. How much have I spent this year on things like entertainment, pleasure, and, quote, extra things? Like movies, dining out, sports, expensive clothes, and fancy fingernails. You can tell, I can judge you there because I don't have those fancy fingernails. But now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should never go out to eat. I'm not saying we should never play a round of golf, right? I mean, obviously, that's a given right there, right? I'm not saying you should never buy a new pair of shoes. I'm just saying, how easy is it in our culture to just spend upon ourselves? When you're going down the aisle, right, and you've got the shopping cart, and you say, oh, would you look at that? Look at that. That's that fancy hose that I've seen on an infomercial. It's like three payments of $19.99, and now it's only one payment of $19.99. You throw in your card and you get it. You really don't need it, but you just get it. Guilty? Yeah, I think we're all guilty of buying things that we just don't need. And so I'm not here to point at you. I'm pointing at myself. And what we need to do is ask ourselves, hey, is God asking me to maybe forego that wonderful hose? Because mine is fine that I got hooked up to my house right now, and use that $20 to help someone who's really in need. Maybe God is asking you to do that. You see, this is the heart of this woman here. She has a heart. She opens her arms to those who are needy, those who are poor. And she just doesn't stop at providing for herself and her family, but her eyes are out to the needy. And this is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. He's speaking here to church leaders. He actually ties in diligence and providing in this passage as well. But he says this. He says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we might do what? We might help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I ask you and myself, is there someone in your life that God may be asking you to help? To maybe forego something that you were looking to spend on yourself and give it away to someone else. This is the Jesus way. Maybe it's someone you know. Maybe it's someone you don't even know. There are some great ministries. I think of Compassion International that reaches out to children that we'll never ever meet. But you know what they do? They help the poor. They bring the gospel to the poor. And it's really such a small, small sacrifice to do something like that. Is God asking you to do that? If so, then be obedient to his voice today. Well, number four is we see this woman has no fear. We see in verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household. And in verse 25, says she can laugh at the days to come. What do we notice here? Well, it seems that this woman has a great confidence that God is going to take care of her. If it snows, no biggie. God's going to do it. God's going to take care of me. Rain, earthquake, flood, whatever. God, as long as God allows me breath and allows me to live on this earth, then he will take care of me. She had a deep trust that God would take care of her. And so there was no fear in her life that she would be lacking or go without. Remember what Jesus once said to his disciples? Hey guys, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. The birds aren't fretting and worrying about whether or not they're going to eat. They're going to get some food. Unless, of course, your cat gets them. But our cat just got a bird yesterday. But anyway, the poor bird was probably going for a worm, and that was the end of him. But anyway, he cares about them. How about the lilies of the field? Look at the flowers of the field. Look how beautifully dressed they are. They're not worried if they're going around naked. God's going to give you clothes. He's going to cover your nakedness. It's okay. God will give. It may not be the clothes with the fancy, you know, name on the thing that you want, but dude, you'll have clothes. He'll take care of you. Don't worry is what Jesus said. Isn't it strange when you think about the day we live in, when there is so much worry and so much anxiety and stress over things and over money often from people? And yet we're living in such an affluent time. It's the most affluent time in history. And yet there's all this worry and concern about whether or not we'll have what we want. Is that really what we're worried about? Maybe not so much that we'll have food and clothes, but are we going to get what we want? The things that we want. And so this causes so much stress, and so discontentment will give you stress. Did you know that? Discontentment will give you anxiety. Discontentment will create worry in your life. Contentment, you know what it is? It's a great stress reliever. If you can be content with what God has given for you for today, you're going to have a lot of peace in your life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6-8. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. That was Paul's heart. Hey, you got clothes on your back? Got some food? Good, that's good. What more do you need? You're good. Are you content? Or are you afraid of the future? Afraid that you won't have this or won't have that. We can all learn from this godly woman who trusted in God that her God would provide. And so she could laugh at the days to come. Well, number five is we see that this woman was a blessing. She was recognized by others as a blessing. We see this in verse 28. It says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Because she lived a godly life, there were those who looked at her and said, man, that woman is such a blessing to me. Such a blessing to me. I'm so glad she's in my life. Now again, this is not an absolute. There are godly women out there who are scorned, who are ridiculed, who are rejected. They're not always praised. They're not always honored. They're not always seen as a blessing. Remember what Jesus said? You may have division even in your own household. One family member against another family member because someone chooses to follow Christ and another one doesn't. That could happen. But generally speaking, often those who are godly and fear God like this woman, they are a blessing to us. Why? Because they give. They give to us. And I think we can all think of people who have been that way. We walk away saying, my life is richer because of that person. And I don't mean richer in dollars, but spiritually richer because God has placed that person in my life. I'm so blessed because God has put that person in my life. Well, how about us? Do we seek to be a blessing to other people? We live in a culture that is so consumed with self, isn't it? Self-centeredness, selfishness, all about me kind of culture, how I can receive blessings. And yet God says, I want you to be a blessing. Be a blessing. take a quick inventory of your life. Just think again over this, just this past week. Well, actually, today's the first day of the week. So last week, think last week. I want you to think about last week. Did you find yourself complaining because people didn't treat you the way you wanted? Or, you know, how come nobody loves me? How come nobody takes an interest in me? How come nobody blesses me? Or did you spend your time pouring yourself out for others? Were you focused on being a blessing rather than being blessed? What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul said this to the Philippians when he wrote to the church. Maybe that might have been Corinthians. He said this. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent for your faith. Paul said, I want to be a blessing. I want to pour into you. Do you pour into other people? And if you're a mom today, if your mom has been a blessing to you, then today take that opportunity, if you have that opportunity, to tell her that she has been a blessing in your life. Well, today we looked at five traits of a godly woman. And as we close today, please know this, that godliness does not begin by saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Godliness is I'm going to get the checklist out and I'm going to do it. That's not how godliness begins. How does godliness begin? Godliness begins when we say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Godliness begins when we submit to Jesus Christ, when we turn from sin and when we surrender to Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. So many people are trying to be godly without ever beginning with Jesus, and it's impossible to do that. You cannot be godly apart from Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit living in you. And so if you're here today trying to be godly and you've never surrendered to Christ, you've never turned to Him, then turn around and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I surrender to you. I believe in who you are and what you came to do, that you're the eternal Son of God who came to a cross to pay for my sins. You atone for my sins. You love me. You've forgiven me. And I want to walk now with you. I want to be godly by beginning my life with you. So today, I make today the day that I begin to walk with you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. And Father, we thank you for this picture here of a godly woman. And Lord, I'm thankful for the woman that you have placed in my life, Lord. And we know that there's no such thing as a perfect mother, a perfect wife, a perfect woman. But Lord, we thank you for those who have tried to be godly by trusting in you, Lord, by waiting upon you, by living for you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the things that we've seen today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to carry these traits with us, Lord, as we seek to live for you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have a song.